We are going to continue the study of the book of Ezekiel. Let's turn back to the book of Ezekiel. Last night we studied chapter 16. There are many relationships in our life. For example, your relationship with your parents, and your relationship with your sibling. And then when you go to school, your relationship with your classmate. And when you work, your relationship with your co-worker. And then when you get married, your relationship with your spouse, with your in-laws. And when you have children, your relationship with your children. Which relation in our life is the most important relation? Which relation? Yeah, your answer is correct. Our relationship with God is the foundation of every kind of relation. So that is the reason faith is critical important. If you have good relationship with God, based on this relationship, in the future, you are going to have good relationship with your spouse. You are going to have good relationship with your children. The reason there are so many relationship problems, a marital relationship or a parental relationship, an in-law relationship, all because they don't have good relationship with God. Right. So how can we have good relationship with God? Very simple. If we look into the book of Ezekiel, God already make a covenant with us. And this covenant is a marital covenant. And he loves us. He sent his beloved son, Jesus Christ, to die for us, to pay a way for salvation so we can reconcile with God through the salvation of Jesus Christ. So he loves us unconditionally. So God is only waiting for us to return to him, waiting for us to be faithful to him, to obey his commandment, to live according to his will. And if we only try to live our life according to God's will, then everything will become normal. Your life will have no problem. Even you have problem, you can transcend your problem. You look into the life of Jesus Christ. Do you think the life of Jesus Christ has problem? Yes or no? From your standard point of view, do you think the life of Jesus Christ had problem? Yes or no? From the way you live your life and compare the way Jesus lived his life, I think a lot of people think, oh, the life of Jesus, I cannot live, right? In your today's terminology, right? Anything related to I, Jesus did not have, all right? The life is so simple. And when Jesus went everywhere, somebody tried to accuse him, somebody wanted to stone him to death, right? That may be a problem to you. But you look into the life of Jesus Christ, he was very joyful. He knew what he was doing. He has very clear goal. The clear goal is go back to heaven, to see Father, to be praised by him. So the life is very clear. So to Jesus, he has no problem. Even has problem, he was able to transcend it. So this is very important, for us to build up a good relationship with God. And later on, you are going to make your major decision, right? The first major decision is what school are you going to study? The second major decision is where are you going to work? The third major decision is who are you going to get married, right? These are those lifelong decisions. It will affect your whole life. And all these kind of decisions, you need the guidance of God. And you need to make your decision based on your relationship with God. Now, not only you think it's right, then you can make a decision. You have to pray until you feel that God thinks it's right. And then you can make a decision. And your decision go according to God's will, and you will be guided and you will be blessed by God. So whatever decision you make, if God thinks it's right, then it will be right forever. If you think it's right, it may not be right forever. No, because God thinks it's right, it's absolute. But if you think you are right, it's only relative. So it's very important that we have a good relationship with God. So in the book of Ezekiel, you're going to see from chapter 1 until now, so many chapters, they only repeat one thing. They are unfaithful to God. Their relationship with God was broken. And God feels so jealous. Why? Because God loved them so much. So God cannot allow the third party get involved. And the third party is idol. Anything more important than God. So God sends a prophet to send a warning to them. Continue warning. You have to turn away from idol. You have to repent. You have to come back to me. Otherwise, something terrible is going to happen. So chapter 14, last night, we studied chapter 14. From chapter 13 to 24 is a spiritual condition of Jerusalem. Jerusalem originally was a very glorious city because God abided in Jerusalem. Because there was a temple of God. God abided in the temple. So Jerusalem was a very glorious city. But eventually, the glory of God left Jerusalem. The protection from God left Jerusalem. And Babylon attacked Jerusalem, overcome Jerusalem, occupied Jerusalem, and ruined the Jerusalem. Why? A glorious Jerusalem eventually became a shameful, desolated Jerusalem. What is the reason? Because they did not have good relation with God. So their life come from glory and turn into shame. From blessing turn into curse. From joy turn into suffering. Why? It was not God's will to let them suffer. It because they turn away from God. So the spiritual competition of Jerusalem in the time of Ezekiel was pretty bad. So you come here for what? You come here to improve your relationship with God. Namely, one purpose, improve your relationship with God. So we hope after you leave NYTS after 2 weeks, you feel you are much, much better relationship with God. You are much, much closer with God. And God abides in you more and more than before. And then we can consider this NYTS is successful. Now, so you have to set your goal very clear. And be motivated by God very clear. Yeah, it's necessary to have a rule and regulation or try to guide us. So the whole group can live harmoniously. But the best way is you need to be motivated, highly motivated by God. I mentioned the AMC have an Africa volunteer training. I found out their rule and regulation only minimum. But about 50 people live together, you're going to see everybody behave responsibly. I was so amazed. How come they were able to respond? Very responsibly. They are highly motivated. They know what is the purpose for them to go there? For the mission of Africa. For the mission of Africa is a mission of suffering. I took a bus from Nairobi to Busia. There was a town called Busia in the Uganda border. It's about less than 300 kilometers. How many hours it takes? It takes 11 hours. There are freeway, so-called freeway. Everywhere there's a hole. So when you ride on the bus, it's jumping up and down, left and side, front and backwards. It's like a massage, 11 hours. Massage, 11 hours. So When I see that the 50 attendants of that volunteer training, they are so young. And they are so excited. I want to go to Africa to serve God. We are not saying you serve in the United States or United Kingdom is no good. Yes, it's good. No. But you serve in Africa, you have to suffer. And how come they choose to suffer? Because they are motivated. When they are motivated, everything becomes so natural. Yes, we have to put our effort in prayer, put our effort in learning. Yes, we have to clean the toilet. Yes, we have to do this. Yes, we have to do that. Because we won't come here to serve God. Prepare ourselves to serve God. Oh, be highly motivated. It's very important. So when you come here, if you are not motivated, you come here only to see your older friend. You come here because your parents ask you to come here. You come here because it's a routine. I want to graduate from NYTS. You are not motivated. Then it's very difficult. You need to be nagging, reminding this and that, rule and regulation, right? Nobody wants to do that, right? So motivation is very important. The Ezekiel chapter 15. We already mentioned the meaning yesterday. In chapter 16, prostitution of the Israelite. In the eyes of God, Israelite was just like a prostitute. Who do they perform the prostitution? If you read chapter 16, Ezekiel chapter 16. Chapter 16, verse 26. And you also commit harlotry with Egyptians. Oh, you look, Egyptian is plural. And how can the Israelite commit harlotry with so many Egyptians, right? And your very fleshly neighbor, and increase your act of harlotry to provoke me to anger. So this is the first harlotry, right, with Egyptian. And then verse 28. And you also play the harlot with Assyrians. And because you were insatiable, indeed you play the harlot with them and still were not satisfied. So Egypt was a country and Assyria was a country. How can Israelite have a sexual relationship with a country? It's impossible, right? So it's very obvious that when they say play the harlotry means what? Spiritually speaking. If we read the book of 1 Kings chapter 16, we don't have time to go into that. Then you are going to see that the Israelites make alliance with Egypt, and they try to rely on Egypt to counterattack the Babylon. And in the Assyrian, the same. They want to make alliance with Assyrian. So they even bring the instrument from the Holy Temple to Assyrian, to please the king of Assyria. And then they instructed the priest to build an altar according to the idol or Asian Assyrian idol and worship the idol there. So when they say the adultery or harlotry actually mentioned spiritually, they follow the way to worship their idol. So they arouse the anger of God. And that anger comes from jealousy. So if God feels jealous about us, how can we have good relationship with God, right? If the husband feels jealous about the wife, how can they have a good relationship with God? Jealous means there is a third party involved. When the third party involved, there is a what? Bitterness inside. There is a hatred inside. And there is an uneasiness inside. How can you have a good relationship? Oh. So when God has jealousy about the Israelite, their good relationship is no good at all. So we have to think about, you kneel down and pray in here. Does God feel jealous about you? If God feels jealous about you, unless you get rid of the third party, your relationship with God cannot totally normalized. What is the get rid of the third party? Maybe in your age, most important thing is entertainment, material, internet, all this kind of stuff. Yeah, it's good. You can have that kind of convenience. But if that already become a prison to control you, then it's become no good. It causes you, your relationship far away from God. So let us make up our mind and try to get rid of the third party from your heart so God can build our relationship with you again. And chapter 16, from the beginning, God described Jerusalem just like a newborn baby being discarded on the roadside, which means nobody wanted it. And then later on, somebody passing by the roadside and see the newborn baby still alive, right? And they bring it home and take care of the newborn baby, and the newborn baby become growing up. And that means what? Jerusalem original is what? It's not a very famous city, right? It's just an ordinary place. But later on, God take care of Jerusalem and elevate Jerusalem and to become a holy city. All right, and David started to build the capital in Jerusalem, and later on build the temple of God in Jerusalem. So Jerusalem became a very famous city. That because God loved Jerusalem, and God made covenant with Jerusalem. And when Jerusalem become very glorious, verse 14, and your fame went out among the nations because you were beauty. For it was perfect through my splendor, which I had bestowed to you. The reason Jerusalem become very famous is it because God blessed Jerusalem, says the Lord. But however, when Jerusalem become famous, attract so many people from so many nations, right? Verse 15. But you trusted in your own beauty and played the harlot because of your fame and pour out your harlotry on everyone passing by who would have it. So Jerusalem right now, in the time of Ezekiel, caused a lot of headache to God. They are unfaithful to God, so God feel very hurt. Because God loved Jerusalem, gives so much grace to Jerusalem. But in return, Jerusalem repay God with harlotry. You love so much to your spouse. Maybe you are not married, right? You love so much to your, for example, boyfriend. And your boyfriend pay a lot of attention to another girl. You get hurt a lot, right? The same thing. So when Jerusalem pay so much attention to the foreign nation, or the other God, God feels so much hurt because God loved them so much. Okay, and then start from verse 44, it's talk about the city of Samaria and city of Sodom. But in the eyes of God, the sin committed by Jerusalem is far more serious, far more worse than the city of Sodom. You look into verse 49. Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 49. Look, this was the iniquity of your sister Sodom. She and her daughter had pride, fullness of food, and abundance of idleness. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and the needy. So in the eyes of God, Sodom had social injustice. So they commit sin against God. Verse 50. And they were haughty and committed abomination before me. Therefore, I took them away as I saw it. How did God took? How did God take away the city of Sodom? Right? Through the burning fire. And then, compared with the city of Sodom, right? What happened? Verse 51. Samaria did not commit half of your sins, but you have multiplied your abomination more than they, and have justified your sister by all the abomination which you have done. So compared with Samaria and the city of Sodom, the Samaria city of Sodom become righteous. Why? It was not because they had no sin. It was because the sin of Jerusalem is far more serious. So compared with the sin of Jerusalem, the city of Sodom become righteous. So this is God's complaint to the city of Sodom. Now, verse 59. For thus says the Lord, I will deal with you as you have done, and who despise the oath by breaking the covenant. God say, I am going to deal with you because you break away from the covenant. The reason God deal with them, not because God want to destroy them, but because God want to make them suffer. They can turn back and resume the covenant. So that kind of punishment comes from justice on the basis of love, covenantal love. So this is quite different. You know, in the world, once a person divorced, almost, most of the cases become enemy. Once a person divorced, right? Most of the cases you will see them in court. But God is different. Even though the Jerusalem try to divorce from God, they want to worship the other idol, but God make them suffer in order they can come back. So it's different. And verse 60. Nevertheless, I will remember my covenant with you in the days of your youth, and I will establish an everlasting covenant with you. And this is come from the love of God's loving nature. So he wants to reestablish the covenant. And that relationship today is represent our relationship with God. Now, chapter 17. Chapter 17 is a rebellious house. Chapter 17 talk about two eagles and two vines. And verse 1 to verse 10, you can see the parable of two eagles and two vines. And verse 11 to the end, explanation of the parable. So in short, what does this parable means? If you read the verse 12, chapter 17, verse 12. Says now the rebellious house, do you not know that these things means? Tell them, instead of the king of Babylon went into Jerusalem and took its king and the prince and led them with him to Babylon. If you read the second king, I think chapter 24, you are going to see the Babylon king went into Jerusalem and take one king from Jerusalem to Babylon. And then another king was set up to resume the kingship. So that exactly what mentioned in chapter 17, verse 12. And then 13. And he took the king's offspring, made a covenant with him, and put him under the earth. And he went away, the mighty of the land. Verse 14. And that the kingdom might be brought low and not lift itself up. And thereon, this king rebelled against the Babylon. So Babylon come back and attack them. So this is a whole incident mentioned in chapter 17. And from the whole chapter 17, we can understand the history is under God's control. For example, right now, United States is going to elect the president, right? Who is going to be the president? Superficially, you see the two presidential nominees are running the race against each other, right? But from you look from the spiritual perspective, who will be the president is under the control of God. God wants to give the presidency to whoever and whoever will be elected. So we see the things from spiritual perspective. From the king Nebuchadnezzar, right? One day, he said, he walking in the palace, and he looked out about the at the Babylon, the city of Babylon. He was so proud about himself because of all my might, I can build so mighty kingdom, right? And also, all of a sudden, he become crazy, and he went out to live together with the animal for 7 years. So for 7 years, the hair never cut. They never cut the hair. 7 years, how long will be the hair? For 7 years, how long will be the nail? It's as long as like an animal. Or eat together with animal. Because God did not want him to become a king. One day he raised up the head, looked at heaven. He understood that it is the Almighty God. He wants to give the kingship to whoever. And whoever will become the king. He understands God is in control. And God bring him back to become a king. And this time he come back to become a king. He was very submissive. He was very humble. Because he know God was in control. The same thing. Chapter 17 could talk about the relationship between the Israelites and Babylon. All the relation actually was under the guidance and control of God. Because they were not obedient. So God just used the Babylon to attack them, to make them suffer. So history actually has been under the power of God, the control of God. Okay. And chapter 18. Chapter 18 is talking about the soul who sin will die. There is an older proverb, older saying, and chapter 18 try to change the older concept with a new concept. What was the older concept? Let's see chapter 18. Verse 2. What do you mean when you use the proverb concerning the hand of the Israel, saying, the father has eaten sour grape, and the children's teeth are set on edge? Which means the father had to do something wrong, and the children have to suffer the consequence. That was the older saying. And start from verse 3. God is going to give them the new standard. New criteria of their behavior. So as I live, say the Lord, you shall no longer use the prophet in Israel. And what kind of new standard is going to apply to the Israelite? Verse 1 to verse 24 of chapter 18. Verse 1. to verse 24. Everyone has to be responsible to their own behavior. Means God will hold everyone accountable for their personal behavior. So the father is responsible to the father's behavior. The children is responsible to the children's behavior. So the father's behavior, the children don't have to bear the consequence. The children's behavior, the father don't have to bear the consequence. Everybody are responsible for their own behavior. Okay. In verse 5, chapter 13, verse 5 onwards, verse 5 to verse 9. Anyone who do the righteous, live a righteous way, will live. And in the eyes of God, what is the righteous way? Verse 5, huh? But if a man is just and does what is lawful and right, so start from verse 6, you're going to see what is so-called lawful and just. If he has not eaten on the mountain, nor dip up his eye to the idol of the house of the Israel, he had no part with the idol, which means you are right. Nor defy his neighbor's wife, nor commit adultery. Nor approach a woman during his impurity, verse 7. If he has not oppressed anyone, but has restored to the debtor his pledge, has robbed no one by violence, but has given the bread to the hungry, and covered the naked with the clothing. This is so-called right or just in the eyes of God. So we have to live according to the teaching of the Bible, then we can be a just and right person. If you see, if he has not oppressed anyone, what does it mean oppress anyone? You treat a person differently because of person's skin color or because of person's social status, then it's unjust. In the eyes of God, it's not right. For example, some of the illegal alien, right? They don't have a legal status. So some of the restaurants, some of the company just hire them because they don't have a legal status, ask them to work a lengthy hour and pay even lower than minimum wage. Maybe you can do so. The person will not sue into the court, but because the person is illegal. But in the eyes of God, you take advantage. You are not right. It's unrighteous. So when we behave in the world, there are two standards, or even three standards. The first standard is law, according to the law. The second standard is according to the teaching of the Bible. Can we claim I am a good citizen because I observe the law? Yes. But can you claim I am a good Christian because I observe the law? May not. Everything you do according to the law, you may not be a good Christian. Why? According to the law, abortion is okay. But according to the Bible, abortion is no. Right? According to the law, you can subscribe cable TV, whatever you want to watch is there. But according to the teaching of the Bible, you cannot watch all the program. You defy yourself. So when a person just behave everything according to the law, the person may not be a righteous person in the eyes of God. So we have a higher standard. What is the higher standard? The higher standard is fear God in your heart and live according to the teaching of the Bible. So anyone who behave righteously according to the Bible, not according to the law, shall live. God will give them life. Okay. Now, verse 10. Chapter 18, verse 10. From verse 10 to verse 14. If the father is righteous and the son is wicked, only punish the son. From chapter 18, verse 10. If he beget a son who is a robber, or a shadow of the blood who does any of these things and does none of those duties, but has eaten on the mountain or defiled his neighbor's wife, if he has oppressed the poor and the needy, robbed any violence, nor restored the pledge, leave his eye to the idols, or committing the abomination. Now, verse 13, if he has exacted it, how to pronounce it? Usury, right? Which means high interest. Well, right now, the highest interest is what? Credit card. Right? But if you loan the money to other people because other people are in need, right? I can loan you $10,000, but the interest rate is 20%. All right? In the eyes of God, you are unrighteous. Maybe it's lawful, but you are unrighteous. Oh, so God's standard is different. In the Old Testament, if anyone had nothing to eat and borrow something from you, you can borrow to the person. You can lend the money to the person, but you should not take the interest. That's the teaching of the Bible. So the teaching of the Bible, the standard is higher. Now, 13, what is the outcome? If he had exact usury and take an increase, shall he then live? He shall not live. If he has done any of this abomination, he shall surely die. So only the son died, not the father. So everyone will hold themselves accountable. One day I was in India, Madras, right now called Chennai. One of the workers told me, do you know what is a village? This village, long time ago, all the villages are robbers. Because all the robbers live together become a village. And right now we have a TJC there. I look at them, I don't see that look like a robber. Robber is their forefather, maybe their great-grandfather robbers. But right now, they believe in Jesus, right? So they don't have to bear the sin of robbers from their great-grandfathers. Everything starts from new. So this is what the Bible says. And verse 14 to 20. If the son is good, is righteous, but the father is wicked, only the father needs to be punished. The son don't have to be punished. So they try to detach the father and son. Even though they are related by blood, but in the eyes of God, their behavior should be detached. Each one responsible to their behavior. So we have to be very cautious when we try to look into a matter. In the eyes of God, sometimes everyone should be responsible for themselves. Are not connected to each other. So chapter 18, verse 14 to 20. It's talking about the same thing. Let's see verse 20. Verse 20 is very important. Chapter 18, verse 20. The soul who sin shall die. The son shall not bear the guilt of the father, nor the father bear the guilt of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon himself. So everyone should bear their own consequence. And verse 21, if you behave unrighteous, and later on you become righteous, and God will not remember your other sin. God will forgive you. And this is very important. This is very important. Now, verse 21. But if a wicked man turn from all his sin which he has committed, keep all the statutes, and does what is lawful and right, he shall surely live. he shall not die. So God really, really want us to repent. So when God accept us, God know we have weakness. When God accept us, God know we commit a lot of sin. So when God accept us, he accepts unconditionally, including our weakness, including the sin we have committed. But what God care is, after God accepted us, do we repeat the same sin we commit before? What God requires us is a heart of repentance. We commit sin, we have to repent. And when we repent, we should not repeat the same mistake. That is the true repentance. If we have true repentance, all the sin we commit before will all be forgotten because God loves us. So repentance doesn't mean we only say sorry to God. Repentance means we don't repeat the same mistake. Repentance means we have to live a new lifestyle. That's called repentance. So when a person starts to really repent, repeat no mistake, and all the previous sin will be forgiven. When I see the young kids, your generation here, I really, sometimes I feel sad, sometimes I feel sympathy you. Why? Because your big environment is very difficult to keep the faith. When you watch the movie, right, when you watch the TV, the same kind of sexual stuff keep on flashing over your eye 100 times, 1,000 times, 10,000 times, then everything become nature. Homosexual is nature, fornication is nature, hug and kiss nature, right? Cohabitation in nature, same-sex marriage in nature. Why? Because you have been brainwashed so much already. So in this big environment, it's so difficult to be pure. It's so difficult to keep the faith. So I really sympathize the people in this generation. So if you really do something wrong, it's not too late. You must repent and determine, I'm not going to commit same mistake anymore. If you have determination, real repent, and God know your weakness, God will forgive you. But if you repeat one again and again, maybe it's different story. So now, chapter 18, verse 24. But when a righteous man turn away from his righteousness and commit iniquity, thus according to all the abominations that the wicked man does, shall he live? All the righteousness which he has done shall not be remembered because of the unfaithfulness of which he is guilty and sin which he has committed. Because of them, he shall die. So all your righteousness, you cannot accumulate together to offset the sin you committed. Just that deposit money in the bank, right? I deposit 1,000 and then I can gradually deduct 100, 200, 300, right? So I accumulate 10 righteousness in bank's God's account. Then I commit one sin, two sin, three sin, 10 sin, and become zero. No, not in that way. Not that way. All the righteousness you have before, if you commit sin, all been wiped out. So you cannot use your righteousness before to compensate the sin you commit later. That's what the Bible says. You are righteous and you commit sin, then God is not going to remember your righteousness before. And then verse 25, somebody start to have some words to say. Yet you say, the way of the Lord is not fair. People are talking, God is not fair. All right, God is not fair, right? And then, house of the Israel, is it not my way which is fair, and your way which is not fair? So God is going to argue with them. Now, how come God is fair? Now, let's come to the conclusion. Verse 30, 31, and 32. Time is up. We continue the next section. Let's pray in silence.
阿门。